In a sweeping decision today, the Supreme Court struck down as unconstitutional a federal law banning so-called virtual child pornography, that is, sexually explicit material involving images that appear to be real children. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg explains.
For decades, the Supreme Court has ruled that sexually explicit material can be regulated more severely if children are involved in its production, because the state has a compelling interest in protecting children from being damaged and exploited. Thus, the court in the past has said that material that would be constitutionally protected if it involved adults could be banned if children were involved. But what if children are not used? They just look like they're being used. In the modern age, computers can produce real-looking virtual children posed in suggestive or even sexually active conduct. In 1996, Congress decided to make that illegal, too, enacting a law that bars any visual depiction that appears to be or conveys the impression of a minor engaging in sexually explicit conduct. Civil libertarians went to court to challenge the law, contending that it criminalized legitimate speech by and for adults. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed. The vote was 6-3, but even the dissenters said Congress had gone too far. Writing for the court majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy said Congress had clearly violated the First Amendment guarantee of free speech by prohibiting the visual depiction of an idea. The idea, said Kennedy, that of teenagers engaging in sexual activity, is a fact of modern society and has been a theme of art and literature throughout the ages, from Shakespeare's portrayal of Romeo and his 13-year-old lover Juliet to the Academy Award-winning movies Traffic and American Beauty, in which teenage sexual activity is simulated by adults playing the parts of youngsters. Justice Kennedy said the law enacted by Congress was so broadly written that it would not only ban such movies, but medical texts, Renaissance paintings, and even movies without sexually explicit conduct, if they were advertised in a way that suggested they did contain such scenes. Such a broad ban of material that is perfectly legitimate for adults to see, he said, strikes at the very heart of the First Amendment guarantee of free speech, especially where, as here, the penalties imposed for violating the law are severe, up to 15 years imprisonment for a first offense. In short, the court refused to back away from the line it drew 20 years ago when it said that sexually explicit material that falls short of being legally obscene could be banned only if actual children were involved in its production. Social conservatives and some child advocacy groups condemned the court's ruling, as did Attorney General John Ashcroft.
This morning, the United States Supreme Court made our ability to prosecute those who produce and possess child pornography immeasurably more difficult.
Jay Sekulow represented 18 members of Congress in a friend of the court brief urging the court to uphold the law.
It really gives a green light to those engaged in pornography of this type, this virtual pornography, to go forward without the fear of any legal repercussions.
That sentiment was echoed by Ernie Allen, president of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
We are afraid that the effect will be devastating. The reality is child pornography is not just about the right of somebody to publish outrageous images. It is a tool that is used by pedophiles to access and victimize kids. And our concern is that this decision will provide a virtual license for perpetrators to victimize children.
Allen's argument that virtual images are used to entice children into sexual conduct was rejected by the Supreme Court, however, as was the argument that virtual images whet the appetites of pedophiles. The evidence presented to make that connection was remote at best, the court said, and without a lot stronger and more direct connection, the government simply cannot make a crime out of lawful speech. Joining Justice Kennedy in the majority were Justices Stevens, Souter, Ginsburg, and Breyer. Justice Thomas wrote separately to note that despite the government's assertion that child pornographers might avoid conviction by claiming that the images they distribute are computer-generated, not real children, no pornographer has yet succeeded in making such a claim, and they've tried. Said Thomas, if the day ever comes when pornographers succeed with such a defense, then Congress may be able to revisit the issue. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.